Chapter 4. The Bridge of Maggots. Water hissed away to vapour as Enyo sped just above the surface of the verdant bay. She moved so swiftly that her prosecutors lagged behind, unable to match her speed. Only Periphas, her star eagle, could keep pace with her. The Night Venator rolled through the air, letting the edge of one shimmering wing strike the water. A gout of steam burst upwards, trailing after her as she swooped towards the underside of the viaduct. She reached for an arrow as she rose past the lip of the bridge. Without slowing, she knocked and loosed, quicker than mortal eye could follow, quicker even than thought. On the bridge, a Blight King whirled as the arrow sprouted from his helm's visor. The great bulk flopped to the ground, dead before he hit. All eyes on the bridge rose, following Enyo as she continued her ascent. Even as she'd intended, arrows from the Rotbringer ranks clattered uselessly in her wake. She banked, twisting in midair, loosing another arrow of her own, and then a second, and a third. Each found its mark, each removed another blighted soul from the world weave. Her wings snapped downwards, propelling her to even greater height. The viaduct shrank away, and its defenders were reduced to ants. The bridge was larger than it had any right to be, given the shoddiness of its construction. It was wide enough for 100 warriors to walk abreast along its length. But it was not a straight path. Instead, it was a twisting, curving morass of bone and sargassum. It more resembled a mountain trail than the gleaming platinum viaducts her folk had once constructed. For an instant, she was again sailing through the red-veined clouds above the great scalariums of Cypria, wings of clockwork clicking and humming. Those had been good days, or so she hoped. Her memories of that time were but the basest of elements, unmingled and inert. She brushed the sigil of the twin-tailed comet engraved upon her chestplate. She had worn another like it before Sigmar had drawn her up into the sea of stars, Cypria burning beneath her. Though the City of Scholars was dead, it yet lived on in her.
"And that is the heaviest burden of all," Enyo murmured.
When she fell for the last time, would any still remember Cypria and its clockwork legions? Or would they too pass into dim legend, as so many kingdoms had? If that was Sigmar's will, so be it. Much was demanded of those to whom much had been given, and she would not balk at the debt. She spun lazily, knowing that those below could easily make out the gleam of her armour amid the dark clouds.
"That's right. Keep looking at me. Here I am, death on high."
She drew an arrow from her quiver and knocked it. Her wings thrummed, pushing at the air to keep her steady.
"Quite a distance, this. What do you think, Periphas?"
The Star Eagle shrieked, impatient. Enyo laughed.
"Yes, I suppose you're right, my friend. One must have faith. Sigmar will guide it to its target."
She released the arrow, and it streaked downwards like a blazing comet. Below, a Rotbringer died. And then, so too did the viaduct. Enyo smiled in satisfaction as her prosecutors did their work. She had held the eyes of the foe, allowing her warriors to complete their task unhindered. She folded her wings and fell, following the same course as her arrow. The viaduct twisted up on itself like a wounded animal. Prosecutors swooped beneath and around it, hurling their celestial hammers with precise aim. They struck at the viaduct's weak points, reducing whole sections of the bridge to smoking slag. Enyo swooped over the bridge, pursuing the Rotbringers as they fled back towards the citadel gates. Prosecutors fell in behind her. Hammers slammed down among the fleeing enemy, pulping many. Broken bodies hurtled into the air and tumbled away into the sea.
"The bridge falls!"
one of the prosecutors called out. Tegris of the Sainted Eye. Once he would have spoken with levity, but now there was only grim satisfaction in his voice.
"What of the other?"
"That I leave to you, Tegris. Take your retinue and see to it," Enyo shouted. "I and the others shall remind the enemy of the true extent of what they face."
Tegris saluted and banked, hurtling away, out over the water. Half a dozen prosecutors followed him. Enyo continued on her course, followed by the remaining warriors. From the high ramparts of the citadel, war engines sang a brutal song. Catapults groaned, hurling gobbets of fly-ridden sargassum at the darting prosecutors. Creaking ballistae loosed iron-headed bolts that bit only empty air as the winged stormcasts banked, rolled and dropped, easily avoiding them.
"I will take the war machines," Enyo called as she sped up the incline of the walls. "Galatas, Carver, smash open those gates. The rest of you, follow me."
Explosions tore at the reeking walls as she rose. She shot past the ramparts. The armsmen of the Order of the Fly scurried like insects. More disciplined than the Rotbringers on the viaduct, they were nonetheless mortal. She drew a crackling arrow from her quiver and loosed, knocking a Blight King from the ramparts. Without their officers, the armsmen would break. She loosed a flurry of arrows, aiming at random. Behind her, prosecutors rose into the sky. Celestial hammers tore divots from the rampart, filling the air with smoke and death. A ballista bolt tore through the smoke and hummed past her, dangerously close. She folded her wings and dropped from the air. The wooden platform of the rampart squealed beneath her weight. Revulsion welled up in her as she realized that it had been crafted from still-living Sylvaneth. Bonded together by pox-hardened sap and iron bolts, the treekin had been forced to grow into one another and form the internal structure of the citadel. Every walkway, every platform, all of one eternally suffering piece. A Blight King thudded towards her across the whimpering planks, his notched and blunted blade raised for a killing blow. He chortled as she ducked aside. Her bow smashed into the Blight King's side, the force of it cracking the corroded armor. The Blight King staggered, choking on his laughter. She leapt into the air and drove both feet into his chest, kicking him off the rampart. An arrow spanged off her helm as she landed. She spun, drawing and loosing one of her own in a single smooth motion. Armsmen boiled out of the smoke, rusty blades hacking at her. She backed away, loosing an arrow with every step. Only one made it within striking distance of her. She caught the blow on her bow and twisted the weapon out of its wielder's grip. The armsman gaped at her. He turned to flee and ran into Periphas. The Star Eagle fell screeching upon the Rotbringer and knocked him flat. Ignoring his cries, Enyo looked out over the interior of the Sargasso Citadel. Pox smoke billowed up from a central structure that reminded her of nothing so much as a vast cauldron. Warriors ran to and fro as prosecutors rained down hammerstrike after hammerstrike, destroying ramparts, walkways and bridges. Where the celestial hammers struck, sargassum burned with a cleansing fire. It wasn't enough. They couldn't destroy this place, not on their own. There were too many of the foe, and the citadel was too large. But they weren't here for that. They were here to remind both the enemy and their fell gods that there was nothing they could claim that Sigmar could not take away. A scream pierced the din. Human. Enyo turned, seeking out its source. She caught sight of the cages through a gap in the smoke, heavy things made from wood and iron. And inside, the sickly, wasted figures of mortal captives. "Periphas," she said, as she dashed to the edge of the rampart and hurled herself into the air. The Star Eagle shot after her, beak and talons wet with blood. There were hundreds of slaves crammed cheek to jowl in the pens. Olive-skinned and dark-eyed, they reminded her somewhat of her own lost folk. They reached out through the rusty bars towards her, screaming and crying, desperate to escape the heat of the rising flames and the agitated brutality of the overseers, who lashed at them with barbed whips, trying to silence them. She descended in a snarl of lightning, scattering the overseers. One, a bloat-bellied brute clad in mouldering rags and rusty mail, snapped his whip at her, spitting curses. She caught the coils of the whip around a forearm and jerked it taut, nearly pulling him off his feet. Periphas streaked down, talons slicing through the whip. The Rotbringer staggered back against the cage, and pale hands caught at him. He bellowed in anger and tore himself loose. Enyo sent an arrow into his throat before he had staggered more than a few paces. More overseers raced towards her. She waited patiently, letting them draw close. Hammers spiraled down, striking with meteoric force. The overseers were pulped and broken. She glanced up.
My thanks, Gallatus. Now, free the mortals.
The prosecutors swooped to obey. She made her way towards the closest cage, wondering what she would say. The mortals shrank back from her prosecutors, afraid of the strange winged beings. She could not blame them. Their armor, their height, all of it was frightening, by design. She heard a roar of lightning and turned. Above, on a low platform, one of her warriors vanished in a blaze of azure energy. A heavy form, clad in thick armor and wearing a helm topped by what appeared to be the head of a stylized toad dragon, stepped into view. Quickly, she loosed an arrow, splitting one of the platform supports. The structure shifted and began to sag, threatening to dump the newcomer to the ground.
I am Count Pastulix, and I claim the right of combat,
the warrior roared, leaping from the sagging platform. He dropped down with a crash, baroque armor weeping smoke. A chaos knight, she realized, larger and stronger than any Blight King.
Come, face a true knight and champion of the King of all Flies.
Streamers of filthy silk snapped about his helm. He extended the heavy, splitting maul he clutched towards her.
Face me, warrior, for the honor and glory of...
Ennio drew an arrow and loosed. The star-fated projectile left behind a bright, iridescent trail as it leapt towards its target. When it struck, it did so in a clap of thunder. Pustulix's head snapped back as it pierced his helm and entered whatever passed for his brain. The Chaos Knight tottered, limbs twitching. Then, with a sigh, he toppled backwards to land with a thud of finality.
There is no honor in battle, only in victory, Ennio said, as she stepped over the body and continued on her way to the cages. And victory belongs to the faithful.
As the lateral viaducts fell, the full might of the steel souls pressed forward down the remaining bridge. The Rotbringers there had been working to destroy the central supports for the viaduct, obviously hoping to collapse those sections closest to shore. The assault had interrupted their labours, and now they retreated in disarray, or else fought like cornered animals. Most were retreating to make a stand at the line of mantlets stretching across the centre of the viaducts. That was where the real battle would be. Aetius Shieldborn led his liberators towards the enemy, moving forwards at a steady pace. There was no need for haste, for they were not the hammer, but the anvil. Across the bay, he caught sight of the leftmost viaduct, finishing its slow collapse, thanks to the efforts of Tegras and his prosecutors. The enemy would have no choice now but to face them head-on, unless they destroyed the remaining bridge out of spite. No, he thought, no, that was not the Order's way. He had fought such enemies before in the winding streets of the reed city of Gramin, and the Chaos Knights had a twisted sense of martial honour. They wanted, needed, battle in a way that few other servants of the Plague God did. He suspected that whatever forces awaited them in the citadel were eager to greet them. A roar of lightning from up ahead caught his attention. Pharos had met the enemy and found them wanting.
Make way! Make way! For Pharos of the Heavy Hand has come!
The Retributor Prime roared. His lightning hammer smashed down through an upraised shield and the cowering figure beneath.
Where I walk, no gate, no wall shall bar the way.
His voice boomed out over the viaduct, as loud as thunder.
Come and set your shields. I shall crack them and make a bonfire of your bones. Make way! Make way!
Do you think they heard him? Solas asked, as he loosed another arrow. The Judicator Prime spoke calmly, displaying none of the excitement one might expect. His judicators marched in the lee of their brethren's shield wall, trusting in the liberators to see them safely through the press of battle. It was an old tactic, but reliable. The judicators drew and loosed with drilled precision, following their commander's example.
I think Nurgle in his garden heard him, Aetius said, glancing at the Judicator Prime.
but he's clearing us a path, and that's all that matters. So he is. How thoughtful of him. Solas loosed an arrow as he spoke, sending it high so that it might arc down on the enemy. His aim was second only to that of the Steel Souls Knight Venator, Enyo. We should probably catch up to him before he gets himself in trouble, he added mildly. Aetius nodded. He envied Solas his serenity, especially in battle. Sometimes he fancied that the other warrior was the eye of the storm made manifest. Solas had no doubts as to his place in the world or his purpose. In contrast, Aetius felt as if he had nothing but questions. Unlike some stormcasts, Aetius recalled nothing of his mortal life. Where the fragments of memory should have been was only an emptiness, an absence secreted behind a wall of faith. For him, there was nothing in the world save his duty. Perhaps that was for the best. Memories seemed to bring only pain. A war horn sounded somewhere ahead. Knight Heraldor Kurunta fought in the vanguard alongside the Devastation Brotherhoods. The other auxiliary commanders were scattered throughout the chamber, where they could be of the most use. Lord Castellant Grimm marched at the centre of the advance, the aleph around which the assault would pivot. Lord Relictor Morbus had command of the far flank, on the other side of the viaduct from Aetius and his warriors. Aetius turned to bellow at two nearby liberators.
Serena, Birkut, keep your shields locked. If a single judicator falls because of your inattention, I shall send you back to Azir myself.
He gestured to another.
Teia, 5 paces to the left. Bolster the flank.
Ahead of them, Feroz and his retinue maintained their momentum. The retributors moved as one, without speed, but steadily. A millstone of silver and azure, lightning hammers slamming down to crush bone and pulp flesh as the heavily armoured warriors ground forwards. The retributors fought in the vanguard, clearing a path for those who followed. The Steel Souls fought not as a single battle line, but as independent formations of Thunderhead Brotherhoods, composed of liberators and judicators. They marched in the wake of the Devastation Brotherhoods, consisting of retributors and decimators, capitalizing on the carnage wreaked by the Paladin conclaves. The Devastation Brotherhoods were a scythe cutting through the field of foes. In contrast, the Thunderhead Brotherhoods fought as tight squares, grinding apart any enemy caught between them. It was not a subtle stratagem, but it was certainly effective. The Rotbringers collapsed inwards like a lanced boil. The mortal servants of Nurgle could not hope to match the sheer destructive fury of warriors like Feroz. Even the Blight Kings hesitated to put themselves in the heavy hands' path. And those that did inevitably found themselves broken and left to the mercies of Aetius and his liberators. Aetius cursed as a streak of blue lightning speared upwards from the thick of battle. Another one lost, returned to the heavens to be reforged. How many had they lost in these past weeks? How many since they'd first set foot in the Jade Kingdoms? Whatever the total, it was too many. Infuriated, he slammed his shield into the skull of a Blight King as the obese warrior heaved himself to his feet, suppurating coils of intestine tangling his legs. The Blight King sank to one knee with a phlegmatic cough. Aetius hit him with a shield again, knocking him backwards. Before the Blight King could rise, he brought his hammer down, crushing the rust-riddled helm and the rotten skull within. A swarm of biting flies exploded from the ruptured helmet, forcing him to take a step back. The insects dispersed swiftly.
I hate when they do that, he snarled.
So you insist on reminding me, Solas said.
He turned, loosing an arrow into a charging Rotbringer.
Dispersed volley, he said.
His judicators turned, breaking ranks to send their arrows flying in all directions.
There seem to be more of them than there were a few moments ago.
Feroz is getting sloppy, Aetius said.
A rust-edged axe slammed down against his shield, gouging the Sigmarite. He swept the weapon aside and pulped the Blight King's exposed knee. The Rotbringer staggered, and an arrow sprouted from the visor of his helm, pitching him backwards.
I had him, Aetius growled.
There's plenty more where he came from, brother. Have your pick.
Aetius shook his head, annoyed. The battle for the bridge was becoming confused. The Rotbringers, squeezed between the Thunderhead formations, were fighting back, trying to win through, or else form up in ranks. They would fail, but it was a hindrance nonetheless. Spears skittered off his shield as a trio of hauberk-clad armsmen tried to make a stand. The mortal warriors were tough and strong, but not enough of either. Aetius crashed his shield into theirs, driving the three men back step by step. They continued to stab at him, cursing and shouting prayers to their foul god. He swept his arm out, sending them sprawling. His hammer caught the first in the head, spilling his brains across the faces of his fellows. Out of the corner of his eye, he caught sight of a heavy shape surging towards him. He turned at the last moment, only just avoiding a blow that would have sent him back to the forges of Azir. The Rotbringer was no Blight King, but something far worse, a Chaos Knight, clad in thick warplate, decorated with eye-searing sigils, and wearing a tabard marked with the ruinous symbol of his patron god. He wore a helmet decorated with grotesquely wrought flies, and a cloak of toad dragon hide.
Have at thee!
The creature intoned, its voice a hollow moan. A festering blade, twice as wide as a normal sword, marked with notches, slashed out. It carved a scar across Aetius's chestplate, staggering him. He bawled forwards, crashing into the Chaos Knight, driving him back a step. The warrior caught the edge of his shield and checked Aetius's rush. The sword swept down, hacking into the rim of his shield and driving him to one knee.
I shall give thee a beautiful death, interloper,
the Chaos Knight groaned, wrenching his sword free of the shield and raising it. Before the blow could fall, an arrow sank into a gap in his armor. The knight stumbled, turning instinctively. A second arrow followed the first, piercing his cuirass. Aetius rose to his feet and slammed his hammer into the back of the knight's knees, dropping him to the ground. The warrior tried to turn, but too late. The hammer sang down, and the knight slumped, skull crushed. Aetius looked up.
Now who's being sloppy? Solas said.
Before Aetius could reply, the Judicator Prime pointed.
Look, we've reached the mantlets.
Aetius turned. Ahead of them, Pharos and his retributors had slowed their advance. The mantlets were massive shields arrayed across the width of the viaduct and held in place by iron spikes and heavy chains. Behind them, more enemy warriors crouched, these clutching bows. As the broken remnants of the Rotbringer advance streamed between the mantlets, seeking refuge, the archers rose, arrows knocked. The broad heads of their arrows glowed with sickly green fire.
Balefire arrows, Solas said.
Reform the line! Shields up!
Aetius shouted, even as the first volley of arrows streaked into the air, leaving trails of pestilential smoke in their wake. The viaduct shuddered as the balefire ripsawed across it, reducing fossilized sargassum to bubbling liquidity. Ancient bones tore loose from the structure and surfaced explosively, scattering stormcasts and rotbringers alike. Where the green flames touched, cohesion gave way to chaos. And amidst the crackling hellstorm, immense maggots rose into sight, burrowing up through the surface of the bridge. They launched themselves at the stormcasts, mandibles clicking wetly. Lord Relictor Morbus Stormwarden slammed the ferrule of his reliquary staff down. It struck the surface of the bridge with a loud crack. Lightning thrummed through the bridge, spitting and clawing at the maggots. One of the creatures burst, and where its foul ichor fell, more flames blazed up, adding to the conflagration. The heat washed down the length of the bridge, driving nearby retinues of Stormcast Eternals back in momentary disorder.
Back!
He called out, gesturing with his hammer.
Do not let the flames touch you!
Liberators and Judicators fell back, pursued by the squirming maggot beasts. Morbus found himself facing one of the creatures. It reared up over him, mouthparts clicking, its body pulsing with unnatural energies. Whether these creatures had been created by the balefires or simply awakened by them was immaterial. Only the method and surety of their dispatch mattered. The maggot thing lunged, and he struck it with his hammer, knocking it aside. It squealed and thrashed, body undulating in repellent fashion. Another came at him, its slobbery maw fastening on his arm, swallowing both hand and hammer whole. Its acidic bile began to eat into his vambrace and gauntlet. A gleaming blade swept down suddenly, separating its head from its body. Kurunta kicked the squirming carcass aside, taking care to avoid the balefire that sprang up. The Night Heraldor helped Morbus extricate his arm.
"Where in the name of the Great Bear did these things come from?" he said. "They're all over the bridge." "It doesn't matter. Join the advance. Let nothing stand in your path."
Morbus raised his staff and intoned a prayer to the celestial storm as Kurunta hurried to join his warriors. His words echoed out over the clangor of battle, rising up to the skies. Far above, the clouds contracted and twisted in on themselves. In moments, the thick pox clouds were pierced through by a shimmering rain. Where it fell, the maggots screamed. Their flesh steamed and blistered as the cleansing waters washed them away to nothing. The flames, too, seemed to struggle against the falling rain, flaring eerily in places. While parts of the conflagration were snuffed, in other places the balefires grew fiercer and continued to spread. Nearby, an unlucky liberator was caught in one such expanding blaze. Morbus turned as he heard the warrior's scream of pain. The hallowed knight's silver armor turned black almost instantly. His sigmarite plates began to blister and slough away from his frame as he screamed in agony. His limbs bulged with unnatural growth, sprouting pustules that wailed like newborn infants. His intestines swelled, splitting his body open from within. The groaning mass collapsed, convulsed, and lay still. No lightning speared upwards. No spark escaped. Morbus took a step towards the steaming mass. If the soul of the warrior had not escaped, it was his duty to reclaim it, whatever the cost. The mass heaved up. A gash split down the middle, expelling dagger-like fangs from within the roiling meat. Awkward arms, thick with infected muscle and splintered bone, thudded down, pulling the newborn monstrosity forwards, useless hind limbs dragging behind it. It shrieked in agony as it lunged with crippled ferocity towards the closest storm casts. New-grown teeth shattered on a sigmarite shield, only for the splinters to sprout anew. The liberators struck at the creature. Every blow released sprays of reeking pus, which sizzled where it struck their armor. A tendril-like arm whipped out, sending warriors flying. A liberator slammed into the side of the viaduct and vanished over the edge. Another crunched down at an awkward angle, neck clearly broken. Blue lightning shot upwards and Morbus stepped through it, drawing strength from its connection to Azir. He struck the bridge with his staff again, catching the attention of his warriors.
"Back! All of you, back! This is my duty!"
Liberators pulled back, warily, shields raised in case the abomination decided to ignore the Lord Relictor. The monstrous bulk heaved itself towards Morbus as he approached, its limbs rupturing and expelling thick, root-like shoots as it did so. It was becoming a part of the bridge, a living bulwark formed of pox-ridden meat and sorcery.
"Brother, can you hear me?" Morbus said.
A bony limb slashed at him, and he deftly avoided it. As it tried to retract, he pinned it in place with his staff. The creature shuddered and screamed again, its voice distorted into a bestial wail. Pustules formed and burst on its bulk, and he could hear the cracking of bones within it. With every moment that passed, it lost more of its shape. It tried to yank its limb free of him, but failed.
"Brother,"
he said again, trying to pierce the fog of agony he knew was clouding the creature's mind.
"You will listen."
He twisted his staff, grinding the ferrule into the suppurating flesh. It roared and thrashed,
but soon subsided.
Kill me,
the thing gurgled from its gash-like mouth. An eye rolled in a shrunken socket, only to burst as it fixed on him. He could still make out part of the Liberator's face, taut with agony within the altered hulk. That he was still alive was testament to the durability of the God-King's design. But in this case, it was more curse than blessing. Morbus nodded slowly and raised his hammer.
By the bones that I bear and call my own, I bid ye heed now, brother. Heed only the call of the God-King and accept his blessing.
It was a poor sort of prayer, but he had little time for anything better. An urgency he could not explain gripped him. The hammer fell. Thunder rolled. Lightning flared upwards, freed at last from a tormented husk. Morbus watched it ascend, and then turned his attention back to the battle. He started forwards. He gave no orders. None were necessary. Behind him, Liberators and Judicators followed his example. The last few of the giant maggots squirmed towards the advancing stormcasts, their vile flesh bubbling from the touch of the cleansing rain. Morbus met them with lightning. They had no time to waste, fighting mindless beasts. The charred husks were crushed and scattered by the warriors in his wake. He could feel the ebb and flow of the storm above him. It was growing stronger, its rains washing the pox clouds from the air. Sigmar, or some aspect of him, was watching and aiding his faithful. But there was something else in the air as well, a twisting, churning sensation. His stomach roiled, and he could feel the strange magics percolating through the hardened sargassum of the bridge. It was a resonance of sorts. Like called to like, and whatever was happening, it had its origins in the same sort of corrupt sorcery that had originally formed the bridges and citadels. Ahead of him, a shield wall of Rotbringers were readying themselves to make a stand. He saw the corpulent shapes of Blight Kings among them, steadying the line with hoarse shouts of encouragement. Korunta had shattered the mantlets and driven the Rotbringers back across to this point. They had likely expected the balefires to hold the stormcasts at bay while they retreated. Morbus smiled thinly. The storm could not be held back so easily. Korunta fell into step beside him, followed by a retinue of retributors. The Night Herald's armor was blackened in places and marked by weapon strikes.
Your reign was well timed, Lord Relictor.
Morbus inclined his head in acknowledgement, but didn't reply. Lightning writhed over his armor and weapons as he marched towards the enemy. It sparked and snarled around him like a griffhound straining at the leash.
Who will be redeemed?
Morbus said, his voice like a peal of a funerary bell.
Only the faithful,
Korunta and the others responded, their voices a low growl.
Who will stand until the last stone is dust? Only the faithful.
As one, the Liberators began to strike the flats of their shields with their hammers and war blades. Korunta raised his war horn to his lips and blew a single sterling note, which shivered out across the air. Morbus could feel the song of the storm building within him. It yearned to be free, to rage across all the worlds, to drown and burn all that was not pure.
Who will rise when all others fall?
He called out. He could make out the faces of the enemy now, frightened and pale beneath their corroded helms. The line of spears wavered, brittle and hesitant.
Only the faithful!
A roar now, a crash of thunder. Morbus thudded forwards, Korunta and his retributors following close behind. Lightning ricocheted from the Lord Relictor, leaping towards the Rotbringers. It ripped through their ranks, killing dozens. A Blight King, either brave or desperate, pushed towards him, sword raised.
Who will know victory?
Morbus roared as his hammer descended with all the fury of the celestial storm.
Only the faithful!